Newspapers and magazines have long published Instabooks put out right after major news events. Now, media outlets are also producing quickie e-books, and many of them recycle material that's already appeared in print or on television. Over the past decade, newspaper advertising revenue has been more than cut in half, from $48 billion in 2000 to $23 billion last year. So will these new e-books be a revenue path for the future? Here and Now media analyst and Boston University mass communication professor John Carroll joins us. And John, here in Boston, we have had some recent examples of e-books.
We had a couple with the Boston Globe. They published, after the Stanley Cup championship for the Boston Bruins, they published the typical traditional print version of the season, the wrap-up of the season. But for the first time, they also published an e-book version of it. And the e-book version has all the text that the print version has, but it also has interviews, post-Stanley Cup victory celebration, and the parade through downtown Boston. It's got a lot of extras that they can put into the digital version.
Video. And then there was the Whitey Bulger case. We all remember when the Most Wanted Man in America was brought home here to Boston.
Yeah, this was like Free the Whitey Bulger Archives. What you do is you slap a cover on it, you put an intro on it, you pull material out of the archive, and you format it for the Kindle or the iPad, and you send it out there. It costs virtually nothing. Any revenues you get from it is pretty much gravy.
Because it's all been written already. And the e-books were what, about $3 each? Maybe?
$3 each. I mean, basically the e-books are impulse buy. So you want them, they're basically priced between $1 and $5.
Well, can that then be a revenue path? That's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money, but it can be. Ars Technica, the website, did a really interesting thing. They had a 27,000-word review of the Mac OS X Lion operating system, the new one that just came out. It's free on the website, but they also packaged it as an ebook for $5, or if you had an iPad subscription. And they sold 3,000 copies in the first 24 hours.
Why would people buy something, though, that they can get for free online?
It's a great question, and the reason is portability, readability. It's much easier to read 27,000 words on a Kindle than it is to read it on a computer screen. And ownability. This is something that now you have. You don't feel like you own something when it's on the web. When it's on your Kindle, you do feel like you own it.
And Fortune magazine had a slightly different approach last spring. They published a big piece on Apple in print and in an e-book, but not on the web.
Right. That was really interesting. This is an experiment by Fortune. And it's there are two objectives that they have. One is to try to reward print subscribers so they don't feel like suckers that they're paying for something that everybody else gets for free. The other is to see what combinations maximize their revenues. So it's been 3 months now since that Inside Apple article appeared in the magazine. It's still not up on the web. So what they're doing is saying, we want to drive not only revenues, but readership in a particular direction, and they're trying to pick the platforms that that people can access their content from.
Well, when it comes to print, producing some version of the news, we know the Washington Post did something similar to what the Boston Globe did with the Whitey Bulger story when Osama bin Laden was captured and killed.
Yeah, I mean, these are supposed to be Instabooks. Some are more Insta than others. After Osama bin Laden was killed, for instance, Random House came out with a collection of essays 8 days later. A month later, ABC News came out with a V-book.
Osama bin Laden, 6'4", rail thin, born in Saudi Arabia in 1957, one of 54 children. He had at least 8 aliases, allegedly 6 wives, and reportedly between 12 and 24 children.
And the V-book includes footage from inside bin Laden's compound, excerpts from interviews. You know, I'm thinking television's going to catch on to this big time, too, because talk about archives. They have so many archives, but they have been unable to sort of jump on the e-book bandwagon, but a V-book bandwagon.
Right. It's really redefining what a book is. Now a book has become something completely different. I mean, it's multimedia.
It's a video.
It's just content that's delivered over a variety of different platforms, and it can be just print and video. A book now is something that's very different from a book we've traditionally seen since the 15th century.
Since that old printing press thing.
Yeah, that Gutenberg guy.
Here now, media analyst John Carroll, mass communication professor at BU. You can read his blog, by the way, at campaignoutsider.com. John, thanks for talking to us about the trend in ENV books.
Thanks, Robin.